Well, the year 2016, we're looking through the lens of Proverbs to get a right perspective on these unusual days in which we live. And one of the things that has marked the recent generation has been the great focus on image making. And there's some ways to do it fairly easily. I'm amazed how people can become famous very quickly through the use of social media, through one video on YouTube, and who knows what else. And there's this constant desire to project a very positive image and to have some type of acclaim. And it's a mark of our generation. Now, it's not a mark of only this generation. We always have had, every generation, this need to be approved, this need to be thought well of, this need to have a sense of success about what we do. But now there is just almost an obsession with it through a Facebook page or something like that. And what I want us to see tonight, in just a few minutes here, as we look at the book of Proverbs, that God has a different way for honor to come to our lives. You don't need to turn there. We're going to be going to the book of Proverbs, but very familiar verses, James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And folks, that's opposite of cultural thinking. Humble yourselves, be honest, even to making you look bad in the sight of others, if it's an appropriate way, and God will lift you up. Very similar verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. I'm sorry, 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, at the right time. So we see the matter of submitting ourselves, humbling ourselves under God, being honest with God. It's really trusting God, and whatever lifting up, let him do it. Success is not about us. It is about God's will being accomplished and God being lifted up. And if he chooses to lift us up and give some opportunity, then fine. But it comes through humility. So keeping that in mind, we'll go to the book of Proverbs and we'll do as we've been doing. I'll go through fairly quickly here some of these verses. But God desires to honor his people. God doesn't want us to walk around beaten down. He wants his glory to be seen. He wants to exalt himself through his people. And so we find that God honors those who honor him in their heart. Chapter 22, verse 4, by humility. You notice there it is again. Wow. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. For a woman there in the virtuous woman wife passage in chapter 31, verse 3 of Proverbs, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. In other words, do not try to lift up that way, which is so common in our culture. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she will be the one that's praised. She shall be praised. So you see here the matter of fearing God, humility, the fear of God in both of those verses is how there is honor. And then God indeed does honor a life that reflects who he is, a righteous life. Chapter 21, verse 21, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. Chapter 12, verse 2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. And then there is another one in the matter of the relationship with God, and that is the matter of our possessions. God's honoring, his lifting up, comes with humility, the fear of God, a desire to live out his holiness, and to have an honoring of God with our substance, where we realize that everything we have is because of him. Chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. In other words, God will bless you and cause an increase to come. And so just some thoughts there from that standpoint. Now let's look at the things that specifically God looks to that bring honor, the lifting up, giving the right image. Guess what the first one's going to be again? Starts with an H and ends with a Y, okay? Humility. It's all over this. Chapter 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility, okay? Boy, that really comes screaming out at us, doesn't it? If we are unwilling to be humble and honest, if we find ourselves concerned about image making, we're not going to be honored. Chapter 18, verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Oh, here it is again. And before honor is humility. There it is again. Chapter 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You see, folks, God cannot give His grace, bestow His grace, His working in our life, if we are not dependent upon Him, if not honest about our sin, if we don't see ourselves as He sees us, if we're not fully willing to yield ourselves to the Lord, then He cannot work that wonderful work of grace in our hearts to make our lives worthwhile, to show forth His glory. Because really, the honor of a person is the honor of Christ. And another one is wisdom. The wise, chapter 3, verse 35, shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. When we live foolishly and not follow the wisdom of the Word of God, of what the Lord has given to us, we will live a life of shame. But if we do follow the Lord, if we follow the Lord, we will have inherit glory. Chapter 12, verse 8, a man shall be commended, he shall be lifted up according to his wisdom. Now, when you talk about wisdom in the Word of God, especially here in the book of Proverbs, we're not talking about our ability to think and all the knowledge we have. We're talking about God enabling us to see life from His divine perspective and from His truth. So we are viewing life and making decisions based upon what is genuine spiritual reality. Chapter 13, verse 15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Verses we're all familiar with, chapter 4, verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. I like that phrase. Well, we need to think right. We need to know what's true. We need to be devouring the Word of God. We want to have our minds just totally saturated with truth. We want to see everything from a divine perspective. It's absolutely impossible to live without that. Exalt her, speaking of wisdom, and she shall promote thee. She, what's that? Wisdom shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. So to a person who's humble and therefore allow God's giving the grace to think biblically, divine thinking, to be able to evaluate supernaturally what is right and to make the right decisions, God will then exalt that person. Chapter 3, verse 16, length of days is in her hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. This is in the context of wisdom, riches and honor. Another very important trait of a person that God can honor is a matter of showing forth the love of God through kindness, through tenderheartedness, through the right spirit toward others. So, you know, you're humble, you're not about yourself. God gives His grace so you are thinking appropriately and rightly. You then obviously realize that we must not live for self. Living for others is what is important. And in chapter 3, verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. So mercy and truth and the right kind of heart you will find favor. And then God lifts up those that are not about themselves. You know, one thing we've lost in our culture is a graciousness, a courtesy, putting other people first. That has come over the years in our culture when it was stronger from obviously genuine Bible Christianity. And we have today a crudeness that certainly doesn't give a right testimony. And so it is important that we have that kind of respect. And speaking of a woman in chapter 11, verse 16, a gracious woman retaineth honor. So it's a wonderful thing to, that's why we don't, it's a wonderful thing, ladies, to not focus upon yourself and to have a graciousness toward others. Another one that really does, it's sort of obvious, you know, we've seen humility and the matter of wisdom and so forth, and all of that will cause us to avoid interpersonal battles, avoidance of strife. Chapter 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. And, you know, what do you see in the corporate level? What do you see so oftentimes in extended families and all this battling and these matter of issues to try to somehow prove yourself or whatever, and all that does is bring you down. When a person shows graciousness, when they are avoiding conflict, when they're endeavoring to solve problems, that is an honor, and God lifts us up. And then the importance of just being diligent. Did you know that God blesses hard work? God blesses those who realize that their life has been given as a stewardship of God and that they need to invest their life, all of their life, not wasted upon themselves. And so diligence, God does honor. Chapter 11, verse 27. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, procureth honor. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. And then in chapter 31, your virtuous woman again, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. It goes on, talks about all the things she does. And then verse 31, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And think about it. Doesn't even the world honor good hard work? And God, certainly diligence in good things, he very much honors. And then faithfulness. Don't we honor God for his faithfulness? So we need to be faithfulness as we serve. Chapter 27, verse 18. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. And folks, when we're in a place in which we are given responsibilities and we are given different tasks as we're serving, we will be honored if we wait upon our master, on the one that's over us, do what we're supposed to do, and to be a good employee, to be good in whatever we do. There is honor in that. Chapter 14, verse 35, the king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causes shame. And then finally, we sort of began with humility, and let's end with a very key part of humility, and that is the matter of being correctable. Person who is going to be honored needs to have the ability to be correctable. Chapter 13, verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Throughout the book of Proverbs, you find over and over, the man that hardeneth his neck will not be reproved, is not willing to be dealt with. And this is something, and I want to encourage the younger generation here to realize that that's one thing employers are saying, and saying it a lot, is that it's very difficult to find young people that are going to come in and be teachable and to be willing to be humble, take a lower position, and learn and grow and be correctable. It is just not part of our cultural psyche. And And I can tell you right now, just in the human sphere of things, you go in and be a humble servant and work hard and be correctable and learn where your weaknesses are and develop, there will be honor with that. But in the spiritual realm, how much more? And that's why I would encourage every academy student, every homeschool student, be correctable. God will honor you if you will realize you are growing up and you need the help of your parents. You need the help of teachers. You need to listen to them. God will bless you with honor at the right kind of way, at the right time. But learn to be correctable, teachable. Learn to work hard. When the punishment comes or when the consequences come, don't get frustrated. Don't get bitter about it. Realize this is exactly what I need. I'll never be what I ought to be if I don't deal with the issues of weaknesses in my life right now. And so that's very important. College students, and many of you are here, I can't tell you of a more important time to be correctable. And if you will let those who God has given you to develop and strengthen you be able to be willing for them to be open with you and show you your weaknesses, you will be so far ahead. And then, let me say, you will find them out at some point. It's a whole lot better to do it while you're in a protected environment. And by the way, you're paying for it anyway. You might as well get the whole nine yards, you know. I mean, we don't expect freshmen to know everything. Now, they act like they do until after about 2 weeks, and then they don't think they know anything. But the whole point is, there's a lot of development. How many of you seniors and graduates would say, I'm exactly like I was when I was a freshman? I hope you're not. If you are, we have really blown it, okay? In fact, you don't even look the same. You're not even the same person. It's just an amazing development. But I can tell you, if you have really used your college experience, you have a lot of correction along the way. Brother Swanson is a good guy. He's your friend. Those corrections, they're important. Mrs. Gilmore is a wonderful lady. Right, old Gilmores? Amen. Okay, yes, there you go. Have you ever been corrected by her? Yeah. And so, does she know what she's doing? Absolutely. Okay. I'm doing this a little bit lightly, but it's important. It's important. It's going to keep you from destroying yourself if you will let people help you. I'm not going to leave you adults out. Could a comrade come and talk to you? Could a staff member say, you know, I'm burdened about you? You know, most people can't handle it. They're too insecure. And that's crippling you. Are you correctable? Remember, anybody that has any matter of type of leadership, that develops as you are learning and growing, and you've got friends that to help you and give you suggestions and be able to expose things. Even in marriages, are you correctable? Very important to understand the fact that we never get past that. Humility, all the way through those traits to correctability. And God says, I'll honor at the right time. And it's not about us being honored anyway. It's all about the Lord Jesus. Now, this is an important subject in today's culture. And do not look for people to think well of you artificially. Have a testimony, love God, and may God be seen through our lives. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord here tonight, very simple, straightforward topic here from the book of Proverbs, but it is very applicable to our culture today. And can we be honest? Can we be humble about this? How are we doing? Are we concerned so much about what people think about us? And are we concerned about putting on the right kind of image? Are we more concerned about what God thinks about us? And we just trust Him to do whatever at the right time. How are we doing on the humility part? How are we doing on the matter of really having wisdom, being faithful, being truthful? How are we doing about being correctable? Are we endeavoring, are we so self-conscious about ourselves, or are we conscious of what God can do? Tonight you're a believer and you'd say, Pastor, even in this simple message, God's dealt with me. And I really do want to trust the Lord and to realize that that the way of thinking of the world is opposite from the Bible. And there are some things that the Lord showed me, and I want to be humble and open, and I want to keep growing, and I want to let God to do it, and I want to just rest in my soul and trust Him and to really know that it is a divine thing as far as lifting up. And God has shown me some things tonight. With heads bowed, would you just slip your hand up just to acknowledge the way that the Lord has worked? Well, God bless you. That's wonderful. Amen. Thank you. Maybe you're here tonight, you'd say, Pastor, I'm just not sure I'm a believer. You know, in every service, I'm sure there's someone. God brought you here because He loves you. He wants you to live with Him forever. And you know, you got to humble yourself to be lifted up for eternity. You got to admit, I'm a sinner. I can't do it myself. Jesus died for me and rose again. The only way I'm going to get to heaven is by His grace. And I encourage you. Maybe you're here tonight, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not certain I've ever done that. I'm not certain I'm truly a born-again believer. Would you pray for me also? Would you just slip your hand up? We'd love to pray for you tonight. It'd be a real joy to do that. Anyone at all? Lord, work in hearts. And Lord, would you meet the needs? Thank you for these many that have raised their hand about really wanting to trust you and to really be free in their heart. Lord, whatever it is, would you work a work there? And Lord, would there be genuine humility and openness before you? Pray for this one that's burdened about their soul and not certain that they're saved. Would you bless her and just work in her life. Now, Lord, we ask that you'll bless in this final invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.